I'd like to invite all the kids who are willing to come up and have a seat with me. Hey, it is good to see you all. I have not been here the last two Sundays. I have been away on, where do you think? Vacation, that is exactly right. And I went to Costa Rica for my vacation, which is a country in Central America where I had never been before. Now, on vacation, I wanted to do some of my favorite things. I wanted to go scuba diving and snorkeling. I wanted to go whitewater rafting down rivers. I wanted to go kayaking in the ocean. And I wanted to go out in a boat near the Panama border to watch where there's lots of dolphins. I wanted to be with them. So, what do you think I did? You did all the things. You know what? That's what I hoped. I hoped that I would do all of those things. But you know what? There was no scuba diving because it was raining so hard that the water was all turned up and there was no boats going out. And you know what? There was no snorkeling because the waters were so churned up that you couldn't see anything in the water. And then the whitewater rafting. We had our reservations and we showed up at 9 a.m. to start going down the river and the trip was canceled. There was so much rain that the rivers were overflowing and they were all muddy and it was considered just not safe to go out. Then there was the dolphin trip. This was near the end of my vacation, but it rained every single day. And the waves kept coming in, and no boats at all went out to go look at dolphins. You know, though, I forgot to tell you, there's something else I really wanted to do on my vacation. And it's interesting I forget this one. I wanted to sit and relax on the sunny beaches. But the whole time I was at the beach, the sun didn't even come out one time. But you know, even though I didn't get to do one of the things that I had hoped to do, most surprisingly, I felt extraordinarily serene. Does anybody know what serene means? What does serene mean? Any guesses? I felt extraordinarily serene. Claire thinks maybe her older brother Ben knows. Serene means peaceful. It means calm. It means satisfied. It means kind of like a blue sky day. It means relaxed. Isn't that funny? Even though I didn't get to do any of the things that I hoped to, I still felt serene. Emanuel Swedenborg is a theologian from a few hundred years ago. We're celebrating his birthday this afternoon. 317th birthday, I think. Emanuel Swedenborg said, there are always going through our minds, all right, thoughts and feelings that are serene and courageous and wise. And there are always thoughts and feelings going through our minds that are anxious and fearful and mixed up thinking. And he says that as we grow up, we can learn to listen to the more serene, courageous, wise parts of ourselves, or we can learn to listen to the more anxious and fearful and mixed up parts of ourselves. And as we're growing up, it's up to our parents and our teachers to help us listen to which voices we think. The wise and the serene, that is exactly right. So they help us to learn the difference between the two. Exactly. And we always can listen to the more wise and serene and courageous. But you know what? There's something that can help us in the listening. And that's asking God for help. There is a prayer that was composed so long ago that nobody even remembers when. But it keeps getting translated, all right, into different languages, into different cultures. And just last century, which was the 20th century, the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr put the prayer, the first part of the prayer, this way. And maybe some of you have heard this before. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Hey, thank you all for your rapt attention. And we're going to send you off to Sunday school now, where you get to learn those things that we're talking about. All right? And thanks again for being with us. The theologian Emanuel Swedenborg wrote that it is always possible in any moment to take what is happening in our outer lives and inner lives in a more positive direction or in a more negative direction. He says that there are always voices speaking to us, and these voices are our own thoughts, that our own thoughts are presenting to us. Positive, serene, courageous, wise, peaceful messages about who we are and who we can become as individuals and as a humanity. And we're, on the other hand, always being presented with doubts and anxieties and worries and fears and mixed up thinking, which we can get lost in. As a maze. Swedenborg says this is the way that it is designed for us human beings on this earth. That we can hear one message on the one hand and another message on the other hand. And that it is up to us to choose the path that we will follow. And this is not a decision that we just make once in our lives, but decisions that we make over and over and over between what is, in the language of theology, what is heavenly and angelic and what is hellish and dark. Now, if we could clearly recognize the one from the other, how easy our life would be. But it is in that discerning that life gives us its challenge, and really without which, what would be the point? God did not just create us. God created us to create ourselves. And we create ourselves and who we will become by the choices, consciously and unconsciously, that we are making every day of our lives. Choices that go along with either the more angelic, kind, wise, compassionate, far-seeing truth, or the more despairing and dark and greedy and selfish aspects of life. Swedenborgian theology is not one to which you turn to find the answers for each of the dilemmas in your life, where it will tell you, where Swedenborg will tell you, where he'll point to in the Bible, where Christ will tell us just what to do. God has given us wisdom and compassion to use ourselves in the making of our choices, that we may truly be only created in the image and likeness of God, but that we may grow into the fullness of the image and likeness of God. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. One person told me that if she could just live the words of that one prayer each day, she knew that she would find her way home again. How do we find that serenity and that courage and that wisdom? Now, sometimes when you're on vacation, like I was, it just comes to you, that serenity. Like, oh well, oh well. And it did just come to me on vacation, that serenity. But as the days passed and that serenity remained, I became more and more conscious of two things. First of all, that it was there. And secondly, that it was not my usual state of being. I saw in that week that the sun never shone, I saw the truth of what the ancient Navajo teachers have been saying for a long time, and that is that when things don't feel well in us and we are acting in ways that we don't feel good about, what needs to happen is we need to become more in harmony with life itself. And I realize that what I usually do during my workaday world is that I get upset when the world is not in harmony with me. How can we see these things so clearly when we're thousands of miles away from home? And yet when we're in the day-to-day circumstances, suddenly the cloud comes back over our thinking. When I go on vacation, I do like to come back and tell you a story. So I told the kids kind of the overall experience of the vacation, but I want to tell you one specific story, which is of little consequence in itself. But when I think of it in what I have been speaking about right now, it stays with me. As I said, it rained every day, and the rivers became swollen and large. I was on the coast, and what I ended up doing, along with my brother and his girlfriend, was spending a lot of time hiking in the jungle and in the rainforest. One hike was right along the coast, except right in the jungle at the same time. The jungle went right to the edge of the water. And it was a beautiful walk. But we got to a point where in our guidebook it says there's a little stream and you just step over it. And you continue along your way. Well, this little stream was now a raging river. I knew enough that the crocodiles would not be this close to the coast, so I was not concerned about entering the water. And it was sandy where I was on the one side, and it was sandy on the other side. But I didn't know how deep it was. And so I waited. Waited, not waded. I waited. And there were some others who were crossing it the other way, some children actually. And I saw them go across, and it only went up to what would be about close to my waist. I said, oh, I can do this. They did this. I can do this. And so I did. My brother was right there with me, and his girlfriend was not as enthusiastic about this crossing. So my brother said he would carry her on his back. And so he did. Now, we took off our hiking boots, and I carried the hiking boots, and Ben carried his girlfriend. And across the river we began, into that sandy water, and the cool river and the warm ocean. And the water got higher and higher and kind of strong, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then we got halfway across, and all of a sudden there was something very hard under my feet. And my brother said, coral. At that moment, I did some quick thinking. I'm halfway there. And I went the rest of the way. My brother did some quick thinking with his girlfriend on his back who kept going like this. And he went back to the other side. So now we're on opposite sides of this river. And I sit down on a log and take a look at my feet. One of them is perfectly fine, and the other is quite cut up by the coral. So then comes some negotiating across this river as to what we're going to do next. My brother decides that we're going to put our boots on. He's going to put his boots on and complete the crossing with his girlfriend on his back. I have his boots. Just throw them to me, Rachel. One at a time. So I do, in great girl football fashion. And it ends up 90 degrees off course. But the good news is it was upriver. So then he's yelling, turns out these are his only boots. Go get it! I run into the middle of the stream to where the coral begins, his boot going past me, and I reach out and I do just grab it. It was hysterical. And now I get that one boot. I get another chance for the throws and do reasonably well. They make it across the river, and at that point there are some others also crossing back the other way we had come. And one of them decides to yell out, just as we're getting ready to go back into the jungle, "Watch out for the boa constrictor!" Now, my brother and I, we took this for the joke. We knew it must be. But Elisa had just about had enough. She said, and we had all been such good sports this whole vacation, but she said, "I think I've had enough of jungle walking." And we could not persuade her to go any farther. So we sat on the beach in the rain and enjoyed one another's company and watched an old man on the edge of the jungle who was collecting coconuts with his machete. His nose, I didn't notice, but Elisa noticed that his nose wasn't all there. And she thought that perhaps that had been the result of an accident some time ago. Ben and I are pretty courageous, my brother and I, about outdoor adventures, but we're a little shyer around people. And it was Elisa who went up to the old man collecting coconuts, saying, "Would he sell us one?" And between the Spanish-English barrier, we managed to get the idea across. And he did. He got us a coconut, and with three whacks of that machete, he opened it up inside so that we could drink from it. And before he opened it up, he said to us that would cost us 100 colones, which is about 25 cents. We looked what we had with us, and we had 500 colones, about $1.25. And so when he gave us the coconut, we gave him the 500 colones. And his face just kind of goes into this, oh my, like clearly there's been some major misunderstanding. And we're afraid we misunderstood and we're giving him far too little for this fresh coconut milk. But he's telling us, no, he doesn't have any change. And then we make it clear to him that the whole 500 kilos is for him. The gratitude on his face. And he just reached out to us and held our hands, thanking us. I rewrote the Serenity Prayer. Do you want to hear it? God, grant me the serenity to accept the rivers I cannot cross, the courage to cross the rivers I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. God be with us, with each and every one of us, on all of our river crossings, of our choices and decisions, and help us to learn each day from all the mistakes that we make, and help us to not be critical and harsh and judgmental of ourselves and of our neighbors, but help us be accepting, help us to learn, help us to grow, help us to receive from God serenity, courage, and wisdom.